like I'm driving a spaceship or something. Okay, so I'm Pandey Sujata. Welcome to today's session. And well, before we start, I'd just like to see whether I was able to conduct a small experiment on you all today, which will definitely be, you know, won't involve any, you know, surgical removal of parts or anything like that. As some of you may have been at the talk last night, I mentioned I started a thing called Faces of Meditation, hashtag Faces of Meditation. Were some of you here last night, the talk? Yeah, a few people? Okay, so one of the things that I've been noticing is that if you go to Google Images and you search for meditation, that the images that you return are not necessarily representative of the people who actually meditate. Okay, so the people who meditate on Google Images are all young, slim, pretty, blonde women, white, meditating on hilltops and beaches. Right? And silhouettes. For some reason, lots and lots of silhouettes. I don't know why it is, but there you go. And so, as you can see by looking around the room today, that there's a lot of people who are, you know, old and ugly and here. And it's getting old. I've said that joke too many times now. It's getting old. Okay, but. But the people who meditate are much more diverse, right? Ordinary people meditate as well. And we did one I did in Sydney, we had a one-armed female sailor meditating, right? So that was good, yeah? That's very diverse. And so what I was going to ask was, first of all, if you think this is a good idea, and only if you think it's a good idea, and secondly, if there's somebody who's willing to volunteer, that I'd ask whether you think it's a good idea that we could take photos of you today while we're meditating. Okay, so this would be like individual photos. So what we do is, just tell you what we do, is you just take photos of people's faces while they're meditating, right? You know, goofy grins, drool coming out of the side of the mouth, whatever. And it's about realism, okay? And then we just upload them to Twitter. No names or labels or anything. Just upload them to Twitter under the hashtag Faces of Meditation. Obviously, being Twitter, you can do this yourself. And if you wanted to, you're interested to do it yourself, that would be great. Otherwise, if we had somebody who is willing to volunteer to do it this afternoon, because I don't have a camera and stuff, but if anybody's interested to take some photos during the meditation this afternoon, and if you think it's a good idea to do it, you can opt out, obviously, if you want to. But where do you think that would be a good idea? Yeah. No, it's not a joke. It's about making a more appropriate representation of what meditation looks like for the world. Yeah. It's I think it's quite problematic. I mean, you know, you expect it if it's soft drinks or pizza or something, that people aren't going to use very realistic images when they're advertising them, right? But for meditation, it's very strange, right? I mean, you go and test it, you know, when you go home, but it's very strange that that they have these kind of very kind of narrow aspirational images for meditation, and it is quite hard to find images of just ordinary people. So this is really the purpose of it, and I think it's quite a nice thing. So do you think it's a good idea? Would you like to participate? Yes, a general feeling people would like to. Is there anybody who would like to opt out? That's perfectly fine. Okay, we have a few opt-outers. Okay, a few opt-outers. Okay, well, just bear that in mind for a second. Is there anyone who would like to take the photos? A bit harder. Anusha, thank you so much. So Anusha, can you remember who the opt-outers are? You sure? Do you want to come up to the front and just see? Do you want to opt-outers? Do you want to raise your hands again? Because you had a couple at the one at the front here. Here at the front. All right, keep them up. Yeah. Is that okay? No one's going to be judging. Well, we don't really have a style guide as such. It's just sort of shots, yeah. It won't be that close, no. Okay. So that's all right, Anusha? And we've got it. Can we turn the sound off or something so we don't go when you hit the thing? Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for helping out with this. So, like I said, when this is finished, I'll get Anusha to email me or whatever, or she can. Someone puts it up on Dropbox, on Facebook, on Twitter directly, or else just send them to me and I'll put them up. Yeah. Okay, very good. Okay, so it's a very beautiful day outside. One of the nice things about doing it here is because it's good light in this room. For today, you guys all know how to meditate, don't you? This is the Advanced Meditation Group. Yeah, well, let's just do a silent meditation until 4 o'clock. Is that good? All right, let's do it. Please. Thank you. Okay, well, number one, I don't think so. I don't think that people can do that kind of thing. I've never met anybody who can. Number two, look, I mean, if you're not comfortable, then just say so. We won't put it up. As for whether we're up, like you saw, I just said, please take some photos. So I'm not controlling who's taking the photo or anything. So. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. So like I said, even if you have any reservations, then that's fine. Just let us know and we won't put them up. Yeah. Yeah. Sure, yeah. No worries. Done. And if anybody else has any reservations since then, just see Anusha and she will make sure that you get deleted. Okay. Right. Okay, here we go. So here's Raymond from Germany. How's it going, Raymond? Dear Bande Sujato, does dream yoga, practice of lucid dreaming, have any importance in Theravada Buddhism and meditation practice? Thank you. Not really. That kind of practice that you're talking about has its philosophical roots in certain Upanishadic passages where there's a kind of the three states which are of great importance is waking, sleeping, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. And this is something which it's an interesting topic because it's not entirely clear what this is referring to in the Upanishads. On the one hand, it seems to be referring to ordinary states that we experience, but it also seems to have some kind of philosophical meanings or implications that were much more profound than that and which aren't entirely clear. But in any case, lucid dreaming isn't really a practice that we find within Theravada Buddhism. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, just it's not one of the things you find there. Okay, last week in Sri Lanka, A doctor did a surgery to a person while the person was in meditation without any anesthetic. This was broadcast on TV. My goodness. Is this okay? Did anybody else see or hear about that? They did an operation on someone without any... This is Upal, by the way, from the Maldives. Anyone, no one else saw that? They did an operation on someone. Would you, for our next experiment? Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of people doing having dental work done, as they call transcendental meditation. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? Anyway, but no, I don't deserve the applause. It's too old and tired, that joke. but yeah, having a full operation and being cut up, I have not seen that. It's someone wants to do it. No one's getting hurt. No, I think that's fine. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, my only concern with that would be if it sort of becomes a performance, you know. I mean, if it's a way, you know, to me, it's something that people could do. It's very thought provoking, and it's the kind of thing that can attract attention, and that people, you know, can maybe get people interested in meditation or something. And I think that could have a good benefit. But if it becomes like, I had stomach surgery while I was on meditation. It's like, oh, that's nothing. I had open heart surgery while I was on meditation. And then I was like, oh, that's nothing. I had brain surgery while I was meditating. And so that could get a little bit, problematic. Okay. So Panyavija asks, when I started walking meditation, right after sitting meditation, I heard a sudden small voice saying, "You've lived well," from inside. It gave me great comfort. Is this wisdom? Well, it sounds like wisdom to me. You've lived well. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. So we have wisdom or insight and so on. They will manifest themselves to us in different ways. Okay? And experiences of insight will happen to us in our meditation in all kinds of different ways. You can't necessarily classify it or anticipate it. Sometimes it'll be a feeling. Sometimes it'll just be like a letting go or relief. Sometimes it'll be like a clarity. You just see something, right? And sometimes it will come like a voice, right? Sometimes it might be a visual thing, right? Sometimes it'll be a voice. And, often in sort of casual... way of thinking about things, we tend to think that if you're, hearing voices, then it must be schizophrenia or there must be some kind of problem or something like that. But in fact, it's very common for people to hear voices occasionally, right? So this is something which is distinct from just the ordinary thoughts and so on that's going on in your head. It's something which really sounds like a voice, so that when you hear it, you can actually really mistake it for a voice. You turn around and say, "Who's there?" Yeah. And so voices which are clear and so on like that actually occur quite commonly. I don't know what the percentages are, but fairly commonly. And normally they're nothing to be worried about. And so if somebody who's having symptoms of schizophrenia or some other kind of mental illness, then those voices will become very persistent, they'll become very disturbing, and they'll often be urging people to do things that they really don't want to do and so on. So a voice which comes, occasionally and which is not distressing at all isn't a sign of any kind of problem. And in fact, it can be, as in this case it seems, it's like a way in which the mind expresses a form of insight. And so in that case, that voice is like a reassuring voice. You've lived well. And that, to me, without knowing the person who's asked the question, so I can't answer anything too definitively, but what it sounds like to me is that there's a... I think that in most of us, we have a sense of doubt, right? A sense of worry. What am I doing with my life? Am I making the right choices? Is this what I should be about? And so we also kind of question ourselves about that sometimes and worry about it. And so it seems to me like there's just a bit of a kind of a relaxing of that doubt or something, and then that manifests as that voice. It's just sort of reassuring. So it sounds to me like quite a nice kind of thing. So, and like all experiences, meditation, it's not something that we should be looking for or trying to repeat, right? All of the good stuff in meditation happens because of letting go. You can't make yourself let it go, right? It just happens when you're ready. So it's just a nice reassuring sign that you're probably on the right track. Okay, so we've got a few minutes left. Are there any other questions before we finish up? Yeah. Microphone's on its way.
Like preparing, like why you're doing the meditation or thoughts of others or anything like that.
Okay. May I just say as a qualifier that it's been many years since I thought of myself as a Theravadan Buddhist. So just saying, okay, I'm for myself, I'm interested to practice what the Buddha taught. And so that's all. I don't really, not really interested in Theravada Buddhism, actually. But anyway... In the Buddhist cultures, generally speaking, yes, the answer to that. Very frequently, traditionally, what people will do is before the meditation, they might come and bow to the shrine, maybe take the precepts, go for refuges, so, you know, maybe a few minutes of chanting. Sometimes longer, sometimes, you know, half an hour's chanting, but at least a few minutes chanting, and that helps to sort of set your mind in the right direction. It's also very common when you first begin the meditation to make some kind of resolution or determination. So, you know, just to purify your mind, it might be, you know, may the benefits of this meditation be for the welfare of all sentient beings or something like that. So it's just a way of clarifying your own intention so that you know that you're sitting there for the right reason. Yeah. Yep.
The use of it. The use of the words intuition and insight in the West in more modern times, the insight can be defined as something that comes from three-dimensional perception, perhaps through proprioception, through the sense of where you are in space while you're in sitting, when you have a sudden insight into your life or whatever. It's not associated with a word. It's not associated with a vision or a smell or a taste, but it's specifically got to do with a body intelligence, as distinct from intuition, which is considered to be more in the mental realm and is therefore associated with an image.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case in Buddhism or not?
I don't think that those words would be used specifically with those definitions. It sounds like quite a specific technical definition of those terms. Yeah. I mean, I understand the distinction that you're making there. I think it's a valid distinction. I don't think that the terminology would be used strictly in that way. You'd have to look at the particular teachers and see how they were using the terms. Yeah. Okay, so if there's no more questions, thank you all for participating today, including the people who chose not to have the photos taken. That's also part of the whole thing, so thank you for standing up for yourself, and thank you to Anusha for taking the photos, and let's finish by paying respects to the Triple Gem.